Well, good morning, family. Good to see all of you here this morning. I want to welcome our visitors. If you haven't had a chance to fill out one of those cards on the back of the chair in front of you, we'd appreciate you doing that. You can get that card to any of the men that you've seen up here this morning. They'll handle it and deal with what they need to do. We've got a lot of stuff to go over before we get into the lesson. So as I asked you last week, I'll ask you again this week, just for your patience and understanding as we go through the myriad announcements, it'll take us through the end of the year. Want to remind everyone that tonight at 6 p.m., we're having our winter nights in the fellowship hall with a short devotional at the beginning and then the rest of the time spent in fellowship around games. And I know that some of you enjoy playing games because I have been at tables with many of you. I want to continue to encourage you to play a game with someone tonight who is not in the same age bracket as you. Right, that means Bud will have to play a game with Quinn. Right? But looking forward to seeing everybody back. Bring a finger food, a snack to share, and we'll have a good time tonight getting together. This Tuesday, the elders will plan to meet at 6 o'clock here at the building, and they would like to remind everyone that that meeting is open to anyone who would like to attend here at 6 o'clock. This Thursday, the 15th, will be the ladies' Christmas party at the home of Renee Trimmy. She's asking that you bring finger foods and a white elephant gift to exchange with your fellow ladies. Again, this is a ladies' Christmas party, so Dodie won't be in the house. Okay, he's confirming that with me, that it's for ladies. And as a reminder, Smile Night would be this Tuesday night, but that has been canceled and in lieu of the ladies' Christmas party that night. We're planning on doing some Christmas caroling on December 23rd at 6 p.m. If you're wanting to join us in that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back for that. And the sign-up sheet's important so I know how much music to actually have printed up for everybody when we meet here at 6 p.m. Life group sign-ups are going up. We're going to ask you to have your name on that sheet no later than January 1st so we know who is participating in life groups for this. So be thinking and praying about that as you put your family name down on it. And then breakfast at Boulevard. How many of us grabbed a bulletin today? Robin's back there seeing how many she actually needs to print every week with the hands going up in the air. This week's bulletin article is all about breakfast at Boulevard. If you have questions about it, the bulletin article will answer it, except for one question that was pointed out to me that I didn't answer in the article about cleanup help. There will be a sign-up sheet that goes out next week for cleanup help, and it's going to be a monthly or an annual sign-up sheet because we don't need everybody to be involved with the cleanup. So every month, there's going to be six lines, and so you'll get to choose under which month you're available to help with cleanup on all of that, through all of it. But I got to tell you guys, that sign-up sheet went out there last Sunday morning before Bible class. And when I checked it this morning before Bible class, there was not a single need on that sheet for what we plan to do as a body to get the neighborhood and community involved in a breakfast here. I got to tell you, think about this for a second. How awesome is that? Less than a week? And it literally only 2 days, right? Sunday and Wednesday. And if we want to break it down even further, literally at the most 3 hours. It took us 3 hours to get that sign-up sheet filled and all the needs taken care of. That is awesome. And I'm so thankful to so many of you who have signed up on it. And I know that probably some of you are like, man, I wanted to do that. I can't do it. You got another month. We're going to keep doing it. So stay encouraged through all of it. I got to tell you, it's awesome, awesome that you guys are jumping in on this so the way that you are. There is also a new sign-up sheet in the back for security. And so the elders, I think it's been... Guys, help me out. How long has it been? 6 months when there was a discussion about implementing the new security system? Is that about right? About 6 months ago, the elders had come with an announcement talking about how new security measures were going to be put in place at the facility. And since that time, they have had magnetic door locks, electronic magnetic door locks, and a new, entirely new camera system installed around the building. And so what we're looking for now is help with the security aspects of it. And there is a control room in the back that has all of the cameras, control to the door locks, and everything else like that. that if you are interested, male or female, interested in pushing buttons, and I know some of you are real good at that. Notice how I'm looking at all of you. If you have the ability to push buttons and you're interested in being a part of the security of the physical facility while we're here during Bible class and worship, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. Once you put your name on that, let Alex Smith know that you put your name on it, as he's going to be working with all of that and getting the training done to get everybody involved and wanting to do that. And there's the continuing need for transportation that Bobby still has in the back for anybody that is wanting to use their personal vehicles to provide rides. If you're interested in that, put your name on the list. Get with Bobby. Let him know that you put your name on the list so that as needs come in, he can see who's available in what area of the city, and he can plug you in that way. And final reminder before we get into the lesson, next Sunday is the 18th. It's business as usual. Bible class, worship, winter nights. The following Sunday is December 25th. There will be only morning worship on December 25th. The elders would like you to spend that time as a family, enjoying each other, enjoying the kids. If you've got small kids or grandkids on that day, there will be no Bible class. There will be no evening winter nights on December 25th, just the morning worship. All right, let's open up our Bibles. Galatians chapter 6 is where we find ourselves this morning. There's a lot of challenges that are presented in our modern-day society, aren't there? Now, I'm convinced that the challenges that we face today are really no different than challenges that people have faced throughout the course of history, but it appears in various ways and in different forms, right? And I think that in many ways, sometimes we've lost some of the personal skills that come with some of these challenges. For instance, communication, right? Raise your hand. And I want us to pay attention to each other on this one, right? Raise your hand if you use text as your primary means of communication on your phone. You guys paying attention to the age breakdown on this, except for maybe Victor? Usually our younger generations primarily will use text or some kind of messaging system in lieu of dialing the number and actually talking to someone. Right? Now, all of us text, right? Do we all text? Okay. So, or at least you've received a text. Maybe you don't text, but you receive a text. Some of the challenges that come with personal skills that come with texting. Nobody can read your body language. Nobody can hear inflection in your voice. So, for instance, if you got this text on your phone, just like this, in all caps, how many of us would read this as if the person is yelling at us? Because text, all caps, means yelling. Or are you trying to be loud about something? But what if you got a text that looks like this? Do you read it differently? Right? Because the one before, this is how most of us are reading it, right? Try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. Where if we get the other one, we read, try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. See how the inflection changes and how we read it differently as we go through it. And there's been a lot of speculation as we get into our text this morning about why Paul points out a size change in his penmanship. Okay? And a lot of explanation has gone into it and trying to explain why Paul says it. It's weird when you look at it. Okay? It just kind of jumps off the page where you're going, what in the world are you doing here? Where some have said that since a scribe was penning the letter for Paul, now Paul is closing it out. And so that's why he has to explain the difference in penmanship. There's others that say the reason that Paul has to write with large letters is because he's blind. He can't see real well. And so he writes bigger so that he can see what he's actually writing through all of it. And others have even said, well, Paul can't write Greek well. So he has to write well so that the characters, he can actually make the characters the way that they're supposed to be through all of it. But what I think, this is just one man's opinion, all right? What I think is happening is that he has increased font size to show that he's placing a special emphasis on what he's saying at the close of his letter. All right, let's read it together. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that you may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Now, understand what's going on here. I think it's an easy thing. I think it's pretty easy for us to actually find excuses to neglect the liberty that we've been called to live. And we've talked about that. We might even fool our fellow man into our motivations by in certain pious attempts or trying to make a show of what's going on. And while we might be good and we might be excellent at fooling everyone, guess who is not fooled in all of our behaviors and everything that we are doing? God's not fooled. When Paul says at the beginning of our text, don't fool yourself. God's not mocked. God isn't cheated out of what he's owed. Okay? This is in the same context of everything that we talked about last week about how to live according to the law of love your neighbor, right? So even if I'm trying to follow the law of love your neighbor and I'm acting it out, if it's not heart-driven, guess who knows that? God does. And he's not going to play this game with you. That, in fact, Paul likens it to if you're just play-acting this love your neighbor thing, all you're really doing is reaping according to the flesh. You're living according to the law of love yourself because you've flipped the motivations. You've changed your principles on this, and you are no longer following the law of Christ. You're not fulfilling the law of Christ in any of these things. And so he says, God knows our true character. He can't be fooled in any of this. We can't fool God into believing that we're led by the Spirit when we're actually being led by the flesh. And so Paul presents us with a basic truth. You get what's coming to you. Right? And we know that to be a basic truth, don't we? Here's the deal. If I walk up to Hunter and I punch him right in the mouth, what's coming to me? I would fully expect that Hunter would try and punch me back in the face. And when he did, what would he say? You got what's coming to you. You asked for it, right? We know this to be true. We know that oftentimes what we do brings about very specific consequences. And so Paul says, you want to try and fool God and all of this? Go ahead. Go ahead. You're going to get what's coming to you through all of it. And it's nothing but corruption. There's no positives that are even to be brought into this picture. And with this truth, he's laying the groundwork for what he is about to put all of the emphasis on. And while we may reap today or may not reap today, even though we often do and can, payment is going to be brought forward into the future. So pay attention to what he says. He says, so here's the deal, guys. God's not cheated. He's not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You want to reap according to the flesh, you're going to sow according to the flesh. You reap according to the Spirit, you're going to sow according to this. Or sow according to the flesh, you're going to reap according to the flesh. Sow according to the Spirit, you're going to reap according to the Spirit. And so he says, so here's the deal, guys. If that's the case, then all we have to do to know whether a person is being led by the flesh or led by the Spirit is to look at their fruit. Right? And that's an outward sign of what's going on internally in the person's heart. And I told you guys several weeks ago as we've been going through this lesson that there's certain things that Paul finds intolerable. And one of the things that he cannot stand is when men try to enslave other men. It's why he had to talk to Peter the way that he did. It's why he's dealing with these issues the way that he is. And one of the motivations behind the individuals that have come in to spy out their liberty and then steal it from them by adding rules and regulations like circumcision to the gospel is that they're being led by the flesh. They are sowing according to the flesh, right? But here's another reason that we're told that's connected to it all. They are scared, lily-livered, weak-knees, gutless cream puffs. They do this because they know if they do this, they will not have to suffer persecution for the cross. They're afraid. They're cowards. All because of that little bit of persecution they might receive. They make a profession of Christ and of Christianity. They hide it behind circumcision, though, right? And no wonder Paul talks like he does in Galatians 5, 11 and 12, when he says, If I preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? And then why does he say, I bear on my body the brand marks of Christ or of Jesus? And if I'm preaching circumcision, he says in chapter 5, then the stumbling block of the cross, it's been removed, it's been abolished. There's no issue here. These guys are teaching this because they are afraid of standing for the truth and they're afraid of being persecuted for it. And then he says, here's the deal. Not only are they afraid, they can't even keep the law that they're trying to push on you. They're going to force you to do it just so they can brag about what they have caused you to do. Man, you think about it. When we start talking about men, humans, in general, we're going to try anything and everything to make ourselves better, don't we? Anybody ever been on a diet? Come on. I'm on a seafood diet right now. Now, seafood, I eat it. Why do we go on diets? Why do we get I know January's coming. Why do gym memberships go up every January? We want to try and make ourselves better. We're trying to do something, right? How many of us have bought a product off of the television because you're like, that would make me better? Yeah, you have. Like the Huggies or the hug blanket that they sell, right? Where it's basically a big hug blanket wraps around it. Everybody's like, you sleep so much better when you're wrapped in a hug. Maybe. I don't know. Add this. Cut that. You'll be the person that you've always wanted to be. Isn't that the byline? Isn't that the seller? In reality, what you're becoming is what the product manager marketer wants you to be. So we try to cut, we try to add, all in our search for peace and satisfaction, for freedom, for liberty. We do all of these things. And here's the deal. If that's all we are focused on, if that's all we find value in, then we will never find liberty. We will never find peace. We will never find true satisfaction. And the same is true if we're so focused on or finding value in pointing out that people are too focused on ritual. Both attitudes cannot change any of us. They can't change what's going on inside of us. They're not going to change us into what God wants for us. That it's only God. And this is Paul's point throughout the whole letter here, guys. That only God, only through our faith in Jesus can any meaningful change even happen. You go back to our reading in 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old gone, dead, passed away. New things have come. New hearts, new attitudes, new mindset, new life. All of it's new. We're able to see things with new eyes, seeing clearly what God has done for us. That's what the point was from Deuteronomy chapter 30, where it says, "Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live." God shows us how to love him. God shows us how to live. He brings us this love. He brings us this life. We learn it, and it's through him that liberty is attained. It's through our faith in Jesus that we're made free. It's not the ritual that makes us free. It's Jesus. And that's and things, this causes this change within us. And now I can truly love my neighbor because now I'm being led by the Spirit, not by my own selfish desires, not by the flesh that is incorruptible and leads me to corruption. And Paul says, if you walk by that rule, if you live according to that standard, here's what you can expect. You ready? Peace. Mercy. And it's difficult, I think, for us to look at it from the actual historical context and the argument that Paul is arguing against him for here, right? Because the apostles in time have answered whether or not circumcision is even necessary for salvation. We don't talk about circumcision as part of the gospel message anymore because time and the apostles have answered that for us. But the principle remains, guys. It is not rites or rituals that save. Paul's point through all of this has been that circumcision or any other ritual, it doesn't matter, okay, cannot produce godly character. And further proof of this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? As Paul's writing there and in verse 17, he says, "Christ didn't send me to baptize. Christ sent me to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." Paul wasn't sent to baptize, he was sent to preach. Now understand, this is in no way diminishing baptism at all. In fact, it elevates baptism to what it actually should be. As Paul is describing what he's been called to, that baptism, if we're only viewing baptism as a ritual, cannot produce spiritual character. You know what baptism that's viewed as a ritual does produce? Wet people. It only does an outward, there's only the outward effect. Just like under the old law, circumcision or any keeping of the law without faith could not produce spiritual character. If you're getting in the water and your focus and hope is only on getting in the water and there's no faith in Jesus, no faith in the promise that God has made about him making you an heir, making you a co-heir with Christ and fulfilling all of these promises, you just got wet. And there was no change. There was no new creation. What Paul is pushing us to, what he's striving to get us to realize through all of this, is the attitude that he's presenting. Rituals are nothing. They cannot bring about salvation. They cannot save. What does matter are the essentials. The promise of God. what he has accomplished in his son on humanity's behalf, and providing a means and opportunity for salvation that occurs through our faith, which, by the way, leads us to baptism. And it's by faith we enter into the water. It's by faith we are put under the water. It's by faith that we are brought out of the water. And it's by faith that God reckons us as righteous. It's not that baptism is diminished. It's the Spirit that elevates it. And as we come out of the water and we recognize what the law of liberty actually is, what we're called to do and live by, love God, love your neighbor. And when we do these things by faith, there's no law. We can act according to the way God calls us to act as much as we want. So I'll leave you with the question this morning. In who or what did you put your faith when you got into the water? Was it God? Was it his son and the work that he accomplished? Or was it the ritual of getting dunked? Paul would make the argument, even though he talks about circumcision, that one is sowing to the flesh and the other is sowing to the Spirit. See, guys, when we view things the way God views things, see how grander they become? How much more wondrous they become to us, and why we can actually answer questions when they come up about why we do what we do and the hows behind what we're doing. You'll never hear Jeremy say that baptism is not an essential part of being a Christian. It is absolutely essential. There's too many conversations in Scripture about the essentiality of it and why it's so important. But if there's no faith, and all we did was get wet. Hank's got a song that we're going to stand and sing. I want to use this time as an encouragement to you that as we look at who we put our faith in, once we figure out that answer, that's going to determine why we do what we do. It's going to prove who we love. It's going to be manifested as we come into contact with other people. And if you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and putting your soul, faith, trust, and confidence in the sacrifice of Jesus, who, by the way, was, as Robin said, innocent, honorable, who died in my place so that I could have a life of freedom and liberty, if you've not done that this morning, we encourage you to do so. Don't leave here this morning not walking by faith. If you're struggling, you initially were baptized by faith and you had walked into this world by faith and this Christianity thing and you've been living by faith and you find yourself struggling, this is a time for confession and prayer and encouragement and being strengthened by one another. We all have our challenges and we all face difficulties through this, but we're not left alone to deal with them. God has given us each other. He's given us his Spirit. He's given us his confidence and faith that we can do these things. If we can help you with anything this morning, make it known by coming forward while we stand and sing.